Today, in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to have a closing lesson on a study that E.A. Elam had written about the life of Christ. This has been a 9-month study that E.A. Elam wrote, and we've been going over it on this radio program in this school. And so we've got the closing period of Christ's ministry. And the golden text for this Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sunday schools of March 29th, 1925, is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. The devotional reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. I, John, your brother, and partaker with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patience which are in Jesus, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the 7 churches, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamum, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the breast with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and in his feet like unto burnished brass, as if it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice is the voice of many waters. And he had his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead, and he lay his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. We will continue with this lesson in just a moment. But first, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let me read to you what E.A. Elam wrote about the closing period of Christ's ministry, this review lesson. He said, From July the 6th, 1924, to the close of this quarter, we have studied the life of Christ. We should have pursued these studies with more zeal and benefit than ever before. These studies have been divided into 3 periods. 1, the opening period of Christ's ministry. 2, the central period of his ministry. And 3, the closing period of his ministry. The last period included only the last and most eventful week of his life and the most wonderful week of the world's history. Let us note how much of Christ's teaching and work and suffering and how many of his victories are crowded into this tragical week with so many diverse and strange doctrines, Hebrews 13:9, concerning Christ and his teaching. From the denial of his miraculous conception, to the rejection of the truth of his resurrection, all these false doctrines afloat, and with Paul's admonition to be no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and craftiness after the wiles of error, Ephesians 4:14-15, before us we feel the force of the golden text. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. No wonder Paul says further, but speaking the truth, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head. From the fall of Adam to the coming of the new heaven and new earth, the world has needed but one Savior. It will never need another. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Mary, the only begotten Son of God, the Christ, is the one all-sufficient Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can reach the Father except through him, John 14:6. All who live before the cross, with all that the cross means, looked through the promises and prophecies of God and the sacrifices and figures of the law to Christ, and all on this side of the cross, in a living obedience to the gospel, look also to him, and all are saved by him when saved at all. Hebrews 9:15, Romans 3:25-26, and Galatians 3:23-29. Since Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever, his teaching on all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3, is the same for all time and for all people. There cannot be any gospel except the one he has given through his life, death, shed blood, and resurrection, all for the sins of the world, 1 Corinthians 1:1-11, through which he brought life and immortality to light, 2 Timothy 1:10, which is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe it, Romans 1:16, and in obedience to which all must live, 1 Thessalonians 1:8, 2 Peter 4:17-18. No man on earth or angel from heaven can preach any other gospel, Galatians 1:8-9. Hence there can be no 20th century gospel different from the first century gospel. No 20th century church different from the first century church. And no 20th century Savior different from the first century Savior. And with that, these Sunday school lessons on the life of Christ come to a close. And on the following page, for the Sunday schools of April 25th, 1925, E.A. Elam began the second quarter of lessons for that year that he titled, The Spread of Christianity, Studies in the Acts and the Epistles. And this is the first quarter of another 9 months course. Now we begin, he talks about the Acts of the Epistles. Luke, as we have learned, is the author of the book of Luke and Acts of the Apostles. The title Acts of the Apostles, or Acts of the Apostles, was not given by inspiration, but was doubtless added after the book left Luke's hands. It is not the Acts of the Apostles in full, but gives enough of the Acts of some of the Apostles to serve God's purpose in giving the book. Acts of Apostles is a more fitting title. This book is a continuation of the book of Luke, and begins where that book leaves off. Luke closes with the commission and the ascension of Jesus, Luke 24:46-53. And Acts begins with the commission and the ascension of Jesus. It is based on this great commission, and it grew out of it. every convert made by the apostles and their co-workers, every church planted and set in order by them, and every epistle written to the churches and individual Christians sprang from the commission, as the oak from the acorn, or the fruit from the seed. Acts of Apostles shows how the apostles, guided by the Spirit of God, carried out this commission. And this is the purpose of the book. Ignorance of this book and its purpose has caused much confusion on the all-important subject of telling sinners what to do to be saved. It gives accounts of thousands of cases of conversion which took place under the teachings of the apostles and their co-laborers. From these examples of the conversion of all classes and conditions of people, we see most clearly how the apostles understood the Great Commission, and they told the people what to do to be saved. This book has been called the Book of Conversions. Again, God promised the Holy Spirit when Jesus should be taken up. The Spirit was to bear witness or testify of Jesus, John 15:26-27. He was to teach the apostles and bring to their remembrance all things Jesus had said to them, John 14:26, to guide them into all truth, to show them things to come, John 16:13-14, and to comfort them, John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:7. He was to convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16:8-11. Acts of Apostles shows how the Spirit did all this. It demonstrates the work of the Spirit in convicting and converting sinners, and gives the agencies and instrumentalities used by the Spirit in accomplishing this work. Peter says the apostles preached the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, 1 Peter 1:12. And this book shows how the Spirit did this preaching through the apostles. Hence it has been called the gospel of the Holy Spirit. It is not strange that people will turn away from this book of the Spirit and seek the guidance of a spirit of their own fleshly emotions, impulses, and experiences. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Proverbs 28:26. This book also gives a brief account of the origin and progress of the church at Jerusalem until its dispersion on account of the persecution against Stephen, Acts 8:1-4, the reception of the Gentiles, Paul's missionary journey, and different churches planted by him, and how churches were put to work and set in order, and how they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and in breaking in bread and in prayers, Acts 2:42. We should read this book several times through during the next 9 months. And for the time remaining, I want to begin reading from Acts chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1. Here returning in my little book, the former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was received up, and after that he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence.